Love a rugby league same game multi? Then you've got to check out Picklebet same game multi. Watch your odds and payouts skyrocket when you combine your favorite team's markets, like head-to-head, first try scorer, and winning margin. Picklebet, the next-gen betting app and official sponsor of the NRL All-Stars podcast.
What are you really gambling with?
For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
Welcome to another episode of the NRL All-Stars podcast, Supercoach episode of the week. Barnsley here to bring it to you. And once again, we have Mikey Attard from the SC Experience podcast. He's come over last week and he was so good that I decided to get him to double up and come back for this week. So Mikey, welcome back, mate.
It's good to be called back, back-to-back weeks. It's like getting a call up from New South Wales Cup and performing well enough the first week to get another go.
Oh, don't tell Sabs that, mate. It was an eventful round. Obviously, we've just had a Supercoach round where at the start of it, we were just hit by absolute carnage. There was a lot of different injuries. And it was a tough round, I think, for a lot of coaches. I think we were building up to, you know, average sort of scores in the thousands after a rough first 2 weeks. And then round four, we sort of dipped again. I saw a lot of scores in the 800s and 900s. Certainly 1,000-plus seemed pretty decent. Did you manage to avoid a lot of the carnage and have a decent week?
Yeah, not as good as yours, Barnsley, but I managed to crack above 1,000. I've started really poor. So this week, using a second boost, I was like, I've got to start to see some results here. All these trades I'm making aren't seem to make a difference. But they did manage 11, 10, fairly happy, jumped up like 30,000 spots. So definitely the main thing from here is to climb and start to see some progress with all these guys I'm bringing in and the guys that I've decided to hold on to. So, as long as you're going up and seeing green arrows and, I'm happy and it looks, got some plans to kind of make over the next few weeks. And it's good to finally see some cheaper options becoming available. And they're starting to look like, there's room to move and things we can actually do. So it's, feel like it's all going up.
Yeah. Well, it was a round where actually it worked out for me. As you alluded to, which was nice, I managed a 1290 and that was 20th on the round. I was kind of annoyed I didn't get to win the round because I've never gotten first in a round. So I was like, oh, this could be a chance, but didn't quite get there. It's always nice when stuff comes off. Like, it's such a good weekend when the Supercoach actually comes off, and it doesn't happen that often, really, where everything sort of falls into place. But I traded in the Hammer, which I was really big on. He's 112, which I think is what we expected, but 26.9% ownership ended up being high, probably a bit higher than I thought, but at the same time, it wasn't so high that everybody had him, so it worked out quite well. And Pierce Paul, I should say, as well, worked out quite well for Newcastle, updated to about 65. But the round ended up, Mikey, with 9 tons, but once again, we saw a lot of them were pretty irrelevant. So, guys like Philip Sammy, Jack White and Jackson Ford, a lot of these Uber pods, Sonny Taruva as well. But we did have some of the big guns step up. Dylan Edwards, 120, was great. But I think that it was a really good example of patience as well with some of these guys. So Nico Hines got his 94. Caelan Ponga got 117. Even Gutherson with the Gutherson owners, which there wasn't many because a lot jumped off. If you stayed a bit patient and saw the matchup as being pretty good, he got 109. So I do think that patience kind of paid off. Like, if I jumped off Nico Hines and Caelan Ponga in the last 2 weeks, like a lot of people did, then it would have really burnt, especially because guys like obviously Turbo ended up floundering and stuff. So certainly some lessons to be learned, I reckon.
Yeah, 100%. It just shows, like, as you said, there were plenty of times where, like, I considered selling Ponga, and I'm sure a lot of other people did. And this is the week where, the redemption was kind of consolidated, as he did perform well last week. But to perform well again and starting to see, although some of these options have lost their money, they're still showing, the value of keeping them. So a lot of things to look at for the upcoming weeks. I know, obviously, we're talking a couple of minutes out of TLT getting named. So I'm sure a lot of people have alluded to some surprises. I've heard Angus Crichton is going to take Tip O'Neill's spot and all things like that. So it'll be interesting making a move here. But the fullback department, I think, is one of the biggest talking points, because they all seem to keep one week, they'll go crap, and then the next week, you know, they'll go big. And there's just way too many options. And I think for both of us, Barnsley, the fact that Tommy Turbo didn't go absolutely bananas enabled us to have an okay week, or good week, I should say. Because I was like very scared when I kept them drink water, and I was like, oh, I'm in trouble here. Turbo's going to go 150 plus. And when he got that lowish score, like, it kind of, you know, not starting with him, I think it's a good call at this point.
Yeah, it is. And it was, so that was the game though, right? Like, I mean, I know that was a game circled on my super coach calendar where I went, this is going to be the worry, because if he throws up 150 here, it doesn't matter that he's got, you know, 60s and 70s the week before, it just blows it out of the water. So I heavily considered in the last 2 weeks having Turbo in, and I resisted, and it worked out. And, so, and some of it's luck. Obviously, a lot of it is luck. So it's not like you can just play by the numbers or gut feel and get everything right. You're going to get stuff wrong. But it does show, look, I'll repeat what I said sort of 2 weeks ago with guys like Hines and Ponga and stuff as well. Any player can have a bad run or a bad week. It happens to all of them. No one's matchup proof. No one's having a bad game proof. And you saw that with Turbo on the weekend. Like, he got 55, but what did he get, like, six errors? And he just looked terrible, didn't he?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, to be fair. But after, you know, that kind of quality, that kind of game, it makes sense. But it's just like, now, you know, they go up against a Panther side that, you know, proved that there's still a threat without some of these key guys. And yeah, now you're starting to scratch your head while you sit back and watch all these other fullbacks go nuts. So I think it's just going to be the constant headache all year. We're going to have it, like, you know, which two fullbacks to have, and do you waste a trade to switch to another and then risk them going big? I think it's going to be one of the biggest headaches we're going to have to deal with all year, having all these fullbacks fit and firing at the moment.
It certainly is. And if you've got like half a dozen guys that are all just as capable of each other, it does pose the strategy that maybe it's not best to jump off too much, because your time's going to come if it's not happening right now. So certainly, you know, the Ponga owners the last 2 weeks have gone well. Turbo owners are feeling bad, but, you know, in 2 weeks' time, it might be Turbo going off for a couple of weeks. But if you keep jumping off too often, not only are you burning trades, but you're also missing out on the big scores, and that can become chasing scores when it is swings and roundabouts with some of these guys. So I always, especially with fullback, I always like to look ahead, and I like to plan a bit longer term, more than 1 week. You know, with centre wing, I reckon you can plan for the fortnight sort of thing. You know, I did that with Mulitalo. I went, this is a good 2 weeks. I'll make money out of it, and I'm happy to dump him after that if I need to. Whereas, you know, with someone like Caelan Ponga, and I hate to keep using the example and rubbing salt into the wounds of the sellers, but he always projected to come out of the first month with a really good run. Like round five, Dragons, then the Roosters, then the Bulldogs, then the Dolphins, then the Warriors and the Tigers, then the Gold Coast, and then the Bulldogs in round 13 if he doesn't actually play the bye. So you just look ahead and just go, geez, I'm going to have Caelan Ponga for that run. So I think looking longer term than a week or two, when you're looking at those key positions of a fullback and certainly even perhaps even your halves, pretty important for me.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And just on the Ponga thing, Jackson Hastings, as we thought might happen, he's been named at halfback. So not saying this could kill him or anything, but at the same time, yet again, we've got a different halves pairing than what we've seen so far from the Knights. So does that impact Ponga? Because the main reason I held on to Ponga was when Ponga come into the side, I was like, okay, I think he's going to be better and allow Ponga to play more games, because I thought Hastings was absolutely killing him. He's back in this week. It'll be interesting to see how these two play in the halves and whether or not that impacts him. But either way, for non-owners, it's going to be a very scary watch against the Dragons, who, although they've been okay, we know that they can still lick some points.
Definitely. Well, let's have a look at Market Watch for this week. So before we do look at Market Watch, we do need to have a quick look at Picklebet, because you would have heard the ad at the start of the podcast with their same game multis that absolutely go off. Well, last week they had a great offer where you can bet up to $50 on a same game multi, and if one leg fails, you get the money back in bonus bets. They're actually doing it again this week. So how good, 2 weeks in a row, bet up to $50 on a same game multi, one leg fails, get your money back in bonus bets. That's phenomenal. They've also got some great markets this week as well. I absolutely love the Roosters to go well against the Dogs this week. You can go $1.28 and use them into a multi with, say, the Newcastle Knights at $1.42. Or alternatively, you can go in there and pick your own line and look at it. But you can go for a pretty good handicap at the line at the moment, a -10.5 at $1.95. So I really like that one for the Roosters as well. Other good odds are there too, though. So if you're lucky, bet responsibly, but jump onto Picklebet and have a look because they have some of the best odds in market sometimes. Picklebet.com.au. Go sign up today. When you do, make sure that you use the affiliate code ALLSTARS. So where it says affiliate code or code, when you sign up, use ALLSTARS. That way they'll know you've come from this podcast or take great care of you. But yeah, you've seen the same game multi offers that they got this week. They've always got offers at Picklebet. So I love using them. I love having them as a betting partner of the ALLSTARS podcast. Jump on there today and have a look. Make sure you gamble responsibly. And always think, is this a bet that you really want to place? For free and confidential support, you can call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Now, market watch for round five. Obviously, not a huge amount's happened on the trade market, so it's going to be a mix of talking about some of the popular trade outs and trade ins, but as well as a few pinpointed ones that we think will become popular with TLT as well. Traded out first, Mikey. Taylor May, number one most traded out player. Interesting one, this, because I've disagreed with some people on this a little bit because I actually have been looking the last fortnight to trading him out. And I traded him out before last round. It's certainly not, it's not a black and white one where it was a must trade out or anything. I just kind of looked at it myself and went, you know what, after his 30 against Brisbane, I just thought, what I've been seeing is they haven't been going his side enough. And when they've been going left, Luai stunts him too much. And I really hate that. And then we saw it on the weekend, especially. And I was really glad not to have him. But at his price point and where he was headed, I didn't see it much risk. Like I sort of went, well, in a couple of weeks, he's going to have a bye. And now he's going to have, you know, this week's game and then a bye. Then he's going to have the Tigers, yes, but that's a few weeks away from me. So, you know, if I really want him, I can get him back. I see it as a pretty easy trade out at the moment because I just think that there are so many different options for people in the centre wing, whether you want to go down to a Blaze and use the money or something like that, or whether you want to try and build bank to go up to, you know, Val Holmes as a strike weapon this week. There's just so many options. And at the moment, May has gone 67, 53, 30, and 27. In 4 weeks, in four games straight, he's actually digressed every game. And the last 2 weeks, especially with his 30 and 27, that's in his rolling average for a little bit now. And he just doesn't look like coming out of it. And Manly at Four Pines is going to be not an easy proposition as well.
It's not going to be an easy proposition, but they've got a pretty good record recently at Brookvale, and I think they're still going to be strong. I seem to agree with you a lot, but on this one, I kind of disagree with you. I don't think you should trade him out. Like, I'm happy for more people to trade him out. But at that, look, if he was your way to get a gun center wing that you really want, then fair enough. But they've just been targeting on teams. When they have early success in one team, they will keep peppering that side and keep getting the points and absolutely work the side as much as they can. But it's going to be times where they'll switch to the other side. He hasn't scored a try yet, and it's going to come. The attack's going to come, and the fact that if you kind of look a bit ahead, Penrith play that first bye, and although they'll have Origin stars out, it is against the Dragons. So I think looking ahead, there is going to be a point where I think there is about 100 to 150K to make on him and pay dividends. I know we want the points now. For me, I've got bigger fish to fry, and this week I do have a centre wing that I really want since I couldn't get Young or Hammer. So to do so, I'll be getting rid of Talakai actually instead of him with all the question marks around him.
Oh, that's an easy one. That's a good one.
But looking at Taylor May, like, yes, he's got the bye that next round, but the week after that, then he plays the Tigers. And Penrith, I wouldn't say have a really bad run or a really good run now. It seems like after the bye, it's kind of up and down. But we can see the Panthers can score against any team. They're a team that you're not really worried about. Obviously, we're expecting only one more game for Cleary to miss, meaning Cleary will come back. And I think it's just a matter of time till all the tries go the other way. At the moment, I know it's a Tago and Taruva show, but I can't see that lasting for too long. Like, I feel like there's going to be a point where we can see it. If he scores a try, I think, you know, we're going to see a pretty large score. Like, one of my predictions for my podcast this week would be for TaylorMade to get 80+. It's just... like it's coming.
Big one.
But
big one.
Yeah, it's coming. But I can understand why, if he was the person to trade out, I would. But see, I'd be looking at getting rid of someone like Ben Trbojevic or another like Jermaine Salmon first to Blaze for this week rather than Taylor. As he's got the potential there and he's in one of the best back lines in the comp. So there's, you know, lots to think about with that one, I feel.
Yeah, I'd probably describe him as an easy hold and an easy sell for me. So it's
fair way to look at it.
I think there's nothing wrong with holding him. There's nothing wrong with selling him either, I don't think. I will just point out, just to finish off Taylan, that one of the concerning things, and it is small sample size, so we don't really know what way it'll go, but the first 2 weeks I was really impressed with his base and his base attack. So, I mean, his base was 37.5 points a game in his first two, and he scored 24 points per game in base attack with his tackle breaks and in his offloads. And then all of a sudden, the last 2 weeks, his base attack's gone from 24 a game to 4 a game. And his raw base has gone from, you know, that 37.5 to 25.5 a game, or even less, what, 24. So it's really bad. Like 24 raw base and then like a 28 floor with his base attack is really poor the last 2 weeks. Whether that's more the opposition or just a bad 2 weeks or not, we'll wait and see. It may not be, might snap out of it. But the first 2 weeks, I was really buoyed by the fact that his floor was so good. And then the last 2 weeks, it actually looked the opposite. So what way do you think that's going to hit? Or maybe it's somewhere in between, Mikey.
Yeah, well, I think over the past 2 weeks, like more of the ball was going all the other way. Like I know the Parramatta one in round two was, but it's just, I feel like they're just not getting as much ball as such. And as I said, like if they see an early opening, Penrith are the kind of guys that are absolutely going to rip you for every cent that you got when they find a weakness. And you've seen that each week that it's happened. So look, if he was a 600K price point play here, then it's a no-brainer. You'd be jumping off, but I'm not as worried. As I think, you know, I've started with him. He's in a good side. I think his time's going to come. But obviously, with someone like him, you'll be playing him week to week. So for me, he's, as I said, like, I'm not too worried. And I'll be holding and hoping that a good stack of people jump off this week as there's a very good cheapie. And, you know, if we're lucky, we might get another one soon in a couple of weeks in Kayla Iroh. So interesting times ahead for us.
So Ben Trbojevic, geez, you cannot sell him fast enough, can you? He's the second most popular one being traded out, and he should be. I can't believe I got sucked in again, to be honest. I said in the preseason, and I wouldn't say cop criticism, but there was definitely some supporters of Ben, and I wasn't particularly one. And I begrudgingly started with him because I sort of made the point, look, he's had some opportunities before, and he's always been a bit of a spud. He just hasn't really done much. His PPM's always been a bit poor. And he's sort of done it again. Like the last 3 weeks when he hasn't got any attacking stats, he's on 33, 19, and 36. And one of those games he played 80 minutes where he got 33. I think he moved to centre, but still. And his raw base has just been underwhelming for a forward. So unfortunately, he hasn't made much money, Mikey. So is this one where, you know, you go, look, we've made 33,000. It's not enough, but I just can't stand the sight of him. He needs to go, because his break-even's at 36. Or do you think you're better off holding and playing the long game? Because one thing I will say about him, like I can't wait to get him out. And I'm annoyed that I started with him. But at the same time, I have found his dual really handy because you can obviously swap him around and end up trading out different players from your centre wing and your second row using him. So that is one thing I'd point out. If you do have other guys that you can trade out instead, I know it feels really good to get rid of Burbo because he's unplayable. Like, in round three, he's 19, he's a bit of an AE nightmare, but at the same time, it can be handy, and it does only take a try. And after the Panthers this week, they got the Warriors, which is harder, but then they got that Gold Coast Titans game, and they notoriously leak a lot on the edges. So, I mean, I do see it as a sell that I would like to make myself as well, and an easy one. But at the same time, if you couldn't do it, you know, I wouldn't be boosting just to get him out only. You can certainly wait.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I wouldn't be boosting, and I don't think he's extremely urgent to get out of, but I was going to get rid of him last week. I couldn't. I'm happy to take that 33K to the bank and move on. It just depends. Like, I think, you know, Blaze, we need to get him in this week, especially he's been named again. I thought he looked really good last week, and I think you can play him in your centre wing if needed, if you don't have four good playables, like depending on the matchup. So in my side, I've got two of Picky still. I prefer to hold him over Ben Trbojevic because I feel like if he does get his opportunity to, you know, to keep playing, then at some point, like he's got more money to make than Ben Trbojevic. And even when he's scoring a try, he's not getting that big of a score. And it's just, how long are you going to be waiting for this money? I get the dual part of him is attractive, but I just look at, I'd rather be keeping guys like Smithies and, you know, Tua Picky and Stranger, because I feel like I can get more out of these guys where we've been. We've seen him just be a potter so long before. Like, I think his job security's improved compared to what we thought it was going to be. But For me, is a perfect way to get out, ensure I can get the guy I want this week and have 100K in the bank as I look to start saving some money in my bank account to bring in Cleary for around round 7 to 8. So yet again, thinking a couple of steps ahead.
Yeah, until Peaky, I've got, and I'm deciding if I have to hold him or not. I'd certainly trade Burbo over him because he's got, not just like you said with, you know, if he comes in and stuff, but he's also got, I think, a better game. Like, we've seen that from him where he's a more accomplished player already for Supercoach than what Burbo is. So he's got those tackle breaks and that potential attacking upside as well, and only a break even at 10. And I do feel like, you know, if they have a winger go down, I think that he can go in. And certainly, obviously, if Charns ends up in trouble, he's going to go in. And we've already seen that RTS is actually behind Taupiki as well, which is good for his stock because Charns is back this week. He's been named. But the other thing, too, is that with those strains, we all know that they've got a really high reoccurrence. And even if he has a twinge or something, it's going to put him out a week or two again. And that's all Taupiki needs, really, to maybe an extra 30 or 40K out of him and even be playable potentially. So I certainly agree with you there. I just have to say, we won't discuss it because it's an easy sell, but real shame with Luke Metcalf, isn't it? Because a couple of weeks ago, I actually thought he was a decent buy over some of the more popular ones, especially when it looked like he might goal kick a bit more. And he's broken his leg. So really unfortunate for the Warriors and for young Metcalf.
Yeah, 100%. With the guys bringing him in, I know he got brought in pretty heavily over the past couple of weeks. So, you know, they're the Benz super coach. And I guess if you're a Metcalf Gavin Noda, then, you know, they'll be reeling this week. But they're the joys of Supercoach, isn't it?
Definitely. Samuel Hughes, another joy of Supercoach. The preseason hype. Oh, another, like I was actually on him in the preseason, but I also was quite astounded at the hype because, again, bench front rowers are just so lethal for your Supercoach team. They can be poison a lot of the time. And another one, like, it doesn't mean that he's a bad player at all. His PPM's actually really good and he's doing decent things out there. But again, young front rowers off the bench, they just don't often get huge minutes. And we're seeing it now. He ended up with 13 points on the weekend in 14 minutes. And it's not even an anomaly because the week before he only got 19 minutes. So, I mean, 2 weeks in a row, minutes in the teens. He wasn't bottom dollar, so he's just lost 7.8K. He's got a break even of 36 that he'll probably, you know, be 20 points shy of at this point. But one thing that I will say with him is it really is critical who you're going to go to, I think, because, Mikey, if you go to another guy that's similar, then you're just burning trades. Like, you'll want to guarantee that it's an upgrade or someone that's going to make 100K pretty quick. Because even if you go for a slow burn guy that's got a better break even, Sam Hughes might end up making the same amount of money in the longer term anyway, because he'll probably get more opportunities. I am pretty interested to see this week with the outs that the Dogs have. Who did they lose on the weekend? Preston. With Preston out on the weekend, what that does to the forward rotation as well.
Yeah, we've got to just pray and hope that something happens. Because like with problems, I feel like every year we're stuck with a guy that we just can't get that front row position because there's other fish to fry and other bigger problems because you want to be focusing on the areas that are going to perfect your scoring. And at the moment, if you've got Liam Henry, I'm not as worried because at least there's one front rower who's making cash and is continuing to make you cash. And you can even play him like this week with a couple of Sharks plays like out, like obviously like in my side, you know, I'll happy play him in 17 and have someone that I can rely on getting 50 while, if obviously, assuming I haven't looked at Penrith yet, assuming Fisher Harris is still out. But yeah, more so just kind of waiting for the right guy. And if it's a week where I don't have to make other moves, then I will. But just a quick take on your Barnes, if you haven't looked, Samuel Hughes is actually starting. He's starting this week in number 10. Ooh. So there you go. I guess that kind of changes what we both were just talking about. And the bench is Harrison Edwards comes onto the bench, Liam Knight comes onto the bench, and Katoga comes on the bench for, I think, his debut. So they've got a completely different they've got Kurt Mann on the bench too, but that's three different faces on the bench there.
That is amazing. So, that is amazing. I mean, Knight is a bit of a threat. He could even get swapped with him early on, I reckon.
And current starting edge too, Barnsley. So
there's so much happening with that, isn't there? Look, this is a perfect example of patience, like we were talking about before. Like, everyone's gotten pretty bad scores for a month out of Samuel Hughes, and they want to jump off. But he's not going to lose much money. It's not going to cost you much to wait, and it is going to save you a trade and give you more information. And that's always really important. And if he ends up playing double the minutes this week, which looks very, very likely, then all of a sudden, you know, you've saved a trade and you got someone in your team in your front row forward spot that's going to make more money potentially than who you would have wasted a trade to get in. So I think that everybody should be waiting now with that news. And this is different. Normally we do record this podcast of an evening, but we're doing this one basically live waiting for TLT to hit, which it just has. So that's a great update, right? I'm definitely holding Samuel Hughes. Jamin Salmon, I could not wait to get rid of him if I owned him, so I understand. But I'll tell you another one that's a real tricky one for me. And I'll say tricky because I'm going to go get some market. Zach Laybard is one of the most popular trade-outs at the moment. He's got a 92 break-even, which is very daunting. He's worth $477,000. He's only gone up 12K. I thought at the start of the year he looked great when he scored his 103 points. Then he scored a 26 against Newcastle, which you'd forgive. And then he missed round three, which really hurt teams. Round four, I thought he'd go better against the Broncos. But at the same time, the Cowboys, I thought, would go better, and they lost that game. I understand people selling him. What I will say is I don't think that he's a must-sell at all. And I would not be surprised at all if this week he gets a 75-pluser. And I think that if I owned him, I'd actually be quite excited, Mikey. And this is one of the examples where I think for me, there's times where I look at a break-even, I just have to ignore it because you've got to remember that points are important as well. And I think that this week, like last week, a lot of teams are going to be kind of struggling a bit to have a really strong 17. So if you're going to trade out someone who not only is playing and not only is playable, but has probably the best matchup in Supercoach at the moment against the Gold Coast Titans, then unless your team is super, super, super strong, that might be a trade to rethink where you can actually get rid of someone that's not playing and end up with a better 17. So I'd be edging towards holding Laybutt if he was in my team. But at the same time, he hasn't shown much the last couple of weeks either and does have that higher break even.
I couldn't agree more with you there. The fact that we've seen this potential and he can't jag a big score, I'd be willing just 92 break even. Let's say he gets you 20 again and, you know, he's probably going to lose. So you're gambling almost 50K. He goes down to 420. You can then decide to ship him off next week and you could still make some good cash with that to upgrade elsewhere. And the risk you're running in gambling there is, yeah, the Titans. Like I said it last week, that I'll be looking to actually target players that are, you know, going to be versing this or making sure that I, like this week, I'll play all my Cowboys for sure. And this is a week you've really got to target and focus on, like, with the Cowboys players. And yeah, I think he could jag a pretty good score against them because I think Drinky's going to have an absolute field day. And when the Cowboys are playing good attack, you know, he seems to be a guy that is in support. Last week was in the rain, and I think that rain totally changed their attack. So I think give him one more chance. I can understand of owners getting a bit frustrated with the 26 and 23. And I know a lot of the owners would be people that jumped on after that round one score. So I can understand the frustration, but I'd probably risk it for the biscuit this week against the Titans.
I'd 100% do it as well. Looking longer term, I really like the Cowboys. It's the Gold Coast Titans this week. Parramatta away next week isn't easy, but I don't think it's a tough game for them.
No, not with how they are. Same with, yeah, I was going to say the one after that too. They're both teams that just haven't hit their A tier yet, and we don't know if they will. So in the Sharks is the team they first after it. So it's not a bad run for the Cowboys. They've started with a good run, and I think that run's continuing. So I think back them.
Well, I'm looking after that Sharks game too. Like, I mean, like round seven, even if round seven the Sharks are hard and round eight Penrith is going to be hard, they then have the Dolphins, the Titans again. Then Souths, and then the Tigers. And then round 13 versus the Roosters is the bye round where the Roosters are going to have Teddy out maybe and possibly other players as well. Even if it's a tough matchup round 13, that's gold to have any of those players. So, I mean, it's a really good run aside from maybe round 7 and definitely round 8. The rest of the run through to that major bye is great. And they don't actually have a buy until round 16. So, I mean, there's a lot of long-term approach with someone like Labor that makes me really want to hold him. Zach Hosking makes perfect sense. Can we just take a moment just to celebrate the GOAT of the hooker position that is Denny Levi? Because Joey Lussick is now getting traded out hugely. And all the Lussick traders are wishing that they kept Denny Levi. Now, that is pure ass, more so than class. And I will take it because I spurned Lussick. I thought about doing that trade and didn't do it. I just left Levi in there. But Joey Lussick, 58 break even. I think that owners, though, need to look at it glass half full here. He's made over $100K, $104,000. It's a pretty quick $104K. I don't think people should be upset, and I don't think people should second guess it. I reckon it's a really easy move to trade him out.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm a Joey Lysik owner. I switched around my hookers to do it and kind of a little regretting it now, but I'm not too worried with that break even. I know we see Brendan Hands, like, obviously jumped on the bench last week and probably will do so again this week. I guess the difference is he played 59 minutes last week, which is the most concerning part. I'm tempted with all the injuries to hold for now as I've got bigger fish to fry. I don't want to boost. And if I've already got one decent hooker in there, I would obviously still have to spend a couple hundred K to upgrade him. And I don't think I want to do that now. So I'm just going to hold on for now. Hope that some more attacking stats jag as I think they could. And then we could, then I can look to do something afterwards. But as you said, break even's getting up there. If he continues to play those minutes, then it's going to be a bit of a concern. But for me, I'm just going to hold on, not play him, and hope that there is a little, you know, I get a bit of luck, more attacking stats come, and I can juice a little bit more out of him.
Yeah, that's totally fair as well. I mean, look, there's even guys like Reed Marnie that aren't that far away, maybe 180K away. But, I mean, again, you're not going to want him probably longer term. He does have the lower break even out of the guys that you'd maybe bring in at 18. And then after that, you know, the break evens are reasonably high. So I think it's unfortunate for sellers that they didn't have this happened last week, because someone like Appy's just gone up 53K in a week, and that would have been an ideal scenario, but it's not going to work out that way. Other trade-outs, it's not mentioned on the most popular trade-outs at the moment, but the Sharks are on the bye, and that always presents a potential trade-out opportunity. I have three Sharks in my team, Mikey. I have Katoa, I have Mulitalo, and I have Nicho Hynes. I am definitely holding Nicho Hynes, and I think that the 94 on the weekend should be, you know, make owners fairly happy with that. I can't believe he's only 30% of teams still. But someone like Mulitalo, I've actually traded out Mulitalo, and he was one of the better scorers of the round on the weekend. And I think he's a really easy one, because he's just made over $100,000, and he's going to be one where you can trade him to just about anybody. Now, I really like what Mulitalo did on the weekend. I really like what he did the week before. He's actually been one of the more consistent centre wings in the comp, 87, 116, 56 and 78. I did second guess it a little bit, because they do come out of the bye and have Souths, Cowboys, Raiders, Dragons, which is a pretty good month of footy. And they do play round 13, but he does have a break even at 83. He has made owners $104,000. So he's another one where he's not top 10 most traded out at the moment. He is 14% owned. He's someone where I think you can definitely use the cash over the next couple of weeks to spread elsewhere, and he's not playing this week. So it might do teams the world of good to have that money in their 17 this week rather than sitting on the bench.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm shocked that you're not going, like, I get he's already made a stack of cash, and we know that Mulitalo has some low scores within him. But at the same time, with how well he's been performing, I might be tempted to hold him. In your case, I understand moving one on, maybe more Sione Katoa, depending on the guy that you're after. I'd probably look to move him on. But at the same time, depending on who you're gaining, you're making some cash. And if he comes back and doesn't perform too well, then I think it's a bit of a masterstroke. So it could be. So, yeah. You know, you're flying at the moment. So I guess the main thing is you just got to keep back in your gut and keep making moves while you can.
Well, I'd love to trade Katoa to Valentine Holmes, but there's just too much money involved there.
Yeah. I'm shocked you're not going another centre wing. This week, like, he's nowhere in the trade-in, and he's not going to be, and it's great. He's from the Roosters, Joey Manu. I think this week is a Joey Manu. I'm going Talakai straight to Joey Manu. Only costing me 60K. Bargain. I really like the Roosters run coming up. I think there's potential within it. I think there's a great matchup for him this week. And moving past that, they play the first two byes. Manu's a New Zealander. He's not going to play Origin. And if Tedesco, I assume he's going to get picked at the fullback again, he'll play, you know, fullback, most likely play fullback. So could, we're not sure, like, not locked in. But to me, I think it's just a good week to bring him in while there's all these other guys and people like Ollam that are getting max traded in. I miss Hammer, so I think he's kind of the perfect solution for that. So,
well, there's no Roosters being traded in at the moment in the top 10.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, which is, and yeah, no, I don't think as many are looking ahead while there's all these other ones, more people looking at break evens, because his break even is like, you know, 50 or 60 or whatever it is. But to me, I look at, he's had one low score, and I just see on the weekend, he nearly got a scored a try and got what probably would have been on 85 plus. So I'm just seeing a lot from him. And even in center, people say, oh, he's basing that good, but I'm just seeing so much good things from him.
Yeah, and I think it's a we'll talk about the trade-ins at the moment on Market Watch and the popular players, but before we do that, we'll talk about some that aren't on there, and I think it's a good time to talk about the Roosters. Manu's a good shout. I really worry about him when he's at centre, but at the same time, 647,000, he's not hugely expensive. Like, we've seen him open up recent seasons at 800K and stuff, and that's okay. And the big number there is 6% of teams. That's how many people own Joey Manu. And I agree with you on the Roosters' run. They've got the Dogs, they've got the Knights, Storm's tough, and they've got the Dragons. So three out of the next four, I think, are pretty good matchups for them. It is one, though, where I will say to you, one of the reasons I didn't look at him is because there's a guy $100,000 less, it's not as good, but always has to find a way in my team at some point of the year. Daniel Tupou is only 547,000. He's in 1% of teams. He hasn't gone very well this year so far. He did score 65 on the weekend, but he likes playing the Bulldogs. He's got a few games against them with doubles, and I just sort of like this week's matchup a bit. And it's, if I was going to trade like someone like Sione Katoa, I had to trade it sideways. So someone like Daniel Tupou was a bit of a pod play. And I will say with Tupes, like I mentioned earlier, Mikey, I think with centre wing, you can roulette it a fair bit pretty quickly where you can just get guys in for 2 weeks and stuff. I think that's the sort of position you can do it in. So certainly with Tupou, you know, Bulldogs and Knights. Knights actually hold his record for highest score he's ever gone, which is 138. Loves playing the Dogs, loves playing the Knights. So I like the next couple of weeks for him. And you can even hold him for like a Dragons game and bench him for the Storm game. So at 547,000, he was just price efficient. That's probably why. But for those that aren't as crazy as me and don't love Tupou, Dom Young's almost the same price as Manu, you know, and been a lot more popular and maybe has a bigger ceiling at the moment on that wing. Would you still go Manu over Dom Young this week?
Oh, I am doing that 100%. I think going back to the, I don't mind the Tupou shout, but I'd rather spend the bit extra and go a guy that, you know, I think I'm going to get a buy number out of. I know it's a little bit early. Well, I don't think it's ever too early to like have a kind of a buy plan. And the someone with Manu is he has that massive score in him that he just goes absolutely nuts, even in center. And looking at this week, like he's someone that, you know, on the right matchups, you can throw the CMBC on him and kind of, you know, Dom Young's hit all those massive scores. And although I think he's a good buyer, I just look back to last week and go, last week was the right time to jump on. And obviously his ownership soared through the roof. So this time I'm all about trying to find the guys that not everyone are looking at and jump on them the week before. Because let's say Manu goes nuts this week, a lot of people will be looking to jump on him next week as he starts to soar. So that's kind of my thought process. 6% for Joey Manu. And as you said before, I think that price is just great. Like I miss the hammer in that. And to me, I feel like he's that perfect guy with a bit of upside that is going to stay lower on this week with all the other plethora of options. And you've got Justin Mollum, who we're going to talk about soon with like a minus 50 break even that I think will attract more attention at that price. So that's why I just, over the weekend, I was like, nah, Manu this week. I want him for the Dogs. Like what looks ahead. And I've kind of just thought, every time I think of something and then I've gone back on my word and switched to trades this year, it's actually been the wrong move. So that's what I'm trying. Now, last week, I stuck to my guns and it worked out. And I think this week, same thing. I think stick with your initial thought that you put all that time into and let's go and back with that one rather than jumping off last minute to do something else. Because I feel like the erratic moves at the minute for my team aren't working. So I'll go with what I think's the foundation approach.
You always feel better too if you stick with your gut and fail. If you don't stick with your gut and it fails, you don't really care. But at the same time, when it comes off, it really hurts. Justin Ollam, you mentioned, he's one of the top couple of options at the moment on the trade market. People are loving getting him into their centre wing. 423,000. He's got a break even in the minus 40s. So, I mean, normally this is the point of the season, Mikey, where I say, right, Ollam had a good run, but it's Ollam. He hasn't really been very Supercoach relevant. I think he might be a bit trappish. I'm not going to say any of that, though, because the break even negates all of that talk. When you got anyone in the minus 40s in a break even that has the Dolphins and the Dragons in particular next fortnight, you just get him in. It's totally fine. But I will say, as I say often on this podcast, Mikey, it is about expectations. You need to expect that Ollam could throw up a 40-point game this week. You know, it's a good matchup, but it's just what Justin Ollam has done. And I'm not sure that moving to the Tigers is going to make him this huge attacking weapon that he never was at the Storm. I think that he's just had a good couple of weeks. He has scored 3 tries in the first 2 rounds that he's played for 84 and 81 points. His base has been solid at 31 per game. His base attack's been great with all the tackle breaks especially, but it's only a 2-game sample size, Mikey. So I think it's a great buy at 423K, minus 40's break even. You'll kill it over the next fortnight and you can play him with the matchups. Just don't expect that he's definitely going to get you those big scores because it hasn't really been Justin Olam in the past, but we did see Jack Reed do this exact same run, didn't we, several years ago, and now it's in Supercoach history as one of the best runs of someone that wasn't relevant of all time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not going Olam this week as I think I need a more top-shelf centre wing that I know I'll hold even with the low scores. And with Olam, he could be the perfect thing, like you just said with Mulitalo, where it's just a short jump on, jump off. Even if he pumps out a 40 this week and doesn't score a try, he's still going to go up at least 70K. If he manages to score again and go 70+, you could make a 200K in 3 to 4 weeks. So I can see it there. I like how the Tigers are looking this year. Obviously, Galvin's out for 2 weeks with that suspension. So, you know, he set up one of the tries towards him. And he has been getting a lot of the ball and they've been going that side and it's been working out for him. So I can see that continuing to happen. But there is that world where we're looking on at the past and he's just going to absolutely shit the bed at some point. But as you said, minus 40 break even. I can't see anyone going off him this week. I think if you wanted a value center wing option, he's the perfect guy. And I think probably Taylor May to Justin Olam would be a popular trade option this week. And although what I said about Taylor, I can't hate that move, as if Olam makes a 150 to 200K, that's a guaranteed, or that could almost be a guaranteed ticket to a gun or a fallen gun or a closer step to like a Garrick or someone. So are you bringing him in this week, Barnsley, is one of your trades?
No, definitely not. And it's not because I don't think it's an all right move. I think I'm in a decent position where I'm making enough money. And I'm really going for the throat at the moment to get the points in, which I was really aggressive with last week. And I'm just going to continue on with that because mainly this other bloke is here, Blaise Talangi. If you need to make money this week, he's the guy to get, right? 204,000 base level price, minus 55 break even. So that's the reason why I'm not getting Olam in, because I just think most teams that are competitive at the moment are set up to already be making money right now still. And then you don't have to get two guys in to make money. You can just choose one that's going to be really good and then, you know, use that other trade slot to get someone in that you want to get in and target that you know is going to score well this round or be a keeper. So Blaise Talangi is my choice. He's the first guy I'm trading in. He's the most popular trade at the moment, Mikey. I think that he should be. He might even get 5-8 eligible, which is going to be really handy because if he does get that, you can shift him to 5-8 from your centre wing and swap him around and stuff. Look, he's gone 48 on the weekend, and I didn't think that he played very well. So I think that was a really good number 6 audition for him for Supercoach-wise as far as where his scoring will go. And obviously, it's 67 points in round 3 when he debuted for the season. Canberra this week, not bad. And really, there's nothing to... I don't want to say must-have with him, but he's pretty close to it because it's always hard, isn't it? Like, you just don't know when you're going to get another centre wing in that's base level price with like a minus 55 break even. We've seen in seasons past when we're a month or so into the season, we might wait another month before we see one of these type of guys or even longer. So when they do come about, I do think it's important to prioritise them coming into your side.
Yeah, 100%. You might look ahead and go, okay, Iro killed it on the weekend in Supercoach and played very well in NRL, but he's not guaranteed to come back into that side where Talakai's, you know, like the second rolls are coming back like Nakora and that. So he's not a guaranteed option. So I wouldn't not get someone like Blaise thinking, okay, I've definitely got Iro. I think we didn't have any of these bottom dollar center wing to start the year. They're starting to come now. Don't overthink it. Just bring him in. Like for me, the third most popular trade is Ben Trbojevic to Blaise Talangi. That's a no-brainer. You're getting rid of someone as poo as him and bringing in Blaise, who, as I said, on certain matchups, you can play him. The Eagles were looking at purchasing Mitchell Pearce to help him over this period, but have instead decided to back Blaise Talangi in an article, which to me is huge news because at least they've got his backing. I understand there's a couple other options at the Eels that could replace him if he does have a couple bad games. But the fact that they've opted to not bring in someone experienced like Mitchell Pearce, it would be a pretty handy replacement for Mitchell Moses and stick with Blaise Talangi. I thought he wasn't too bad on the weekend. And got that very low break even. I'm bringing him in. And then at this point, I'll probably be playing him this week with the matchup. I think Eels are due for a win. And even without most of that, they still looked semi-competitive. Don't take away from the Tigers. I thought they were pretty good, but I still think they can score a bit of points. And yeah, 204K, like enough said. Like I'd almost call him a must-have. I think he's pretty close to the best buy this week.
Yeah, I do too. There is a tiny, tiny, tiny glimmer of a red flag where you do have guys like Arcee in jersey 19 at the moment. And you wouldn't think that he would come in for Blaze. But I did think that they looked a bit clunky in attack. And it's probably because both Blaze and also D Brown are genuine sixes and not sevens. So, I mean, I can see a world where Blaze is out and he doesn't really fit back into that back line. So that's a bit of an issue for him. But as long as he plays this week, like, I don't think it matters too much. Like, if he plays this week, you're going to make probably 50K out of him anyway in a week. So it kind of negates the risk of if he's not named after this week. It's just this week you really need him to play. So I'm all over him. I think he's a great trade-in. I don't think these opportunities come up very often. Kai Pierce-Paul is the other guy that's really popular at the top of the trade-in market at the moment. He's already in 15% of teams. 441,000. I've been impressed with him. He's gone 65 and 67 points the last 2 weeks. And while he's been starting, he's been averaging around 55 points the last 3 weeks. It's a pretty good start for his career as a second row for Newcastle. At the same time, I think that we've lost a lot of value with him. Like, he's already gone up almost $100,000. Now, 441 is an expensive Mikey, and he may very well end up being just a great player that just sticks in that second row spot and doesn't move, plays 80 minutes all year, and he's a keeper. And that might happen because he's, especially his tackle breaking, his offloads with his base attack, they're really good. And they may even keep getting better because he's not got a huge amount of experience yet in the NRL. At the same time, 441K kind of says to me he's not a must-have or anything, but he does have that pretty low break-even still. So certainly if you want Pierce-Paul, it is now. But certainly if he also doesn't become a guy that's going to average 60s, then buying him now at his price point, you probably don't need to do. So this might be one where I reckon, Mikey, people need to assess and project where they think it's going to go for him. And if you think that he's going to average, you know, 60-plus a game, then he's an easy get-in at 441K. If you're not sure that he will, or you just have other priorities, then I do think that you can leave him this week as well, because the last 2 weeks have really been the prime trading weeks for KPP.
Yeah, I jumped on him before he played his first game, took a bit of a risk, and it's worked out for myself. I wouldn't be boosting for him, but if you need a second role this week, I think he's the best, one of the better purchases. Hasn't scored a try yet. I think that's only going to come as a matter of time. He's a big bloke. You know, passes all the eye tests, and although he now costs you 440, if he can keep pumping out 60s, I think that's so good in a position where we've seen a lot of these mid-range purchases start the year go so mud. And if he can continue to pump that out, I think he's just going to be a safe play each week and a guy that you definitely want to own. But as you said before, the time is now for him. And yeah, if I didn't have him in, you know, if you're going pretty well with the points, I would look to bring in both Blaze and Kai Pierce-Paul. I know it's not really exciting, but if you're kind of like me and Barnes, you want to keep prioritizing the points, then I would look to just bring in Blaze, fade Kai Pierce-Paul, and go for a guy that you think's about to have a big run of form and jump on before some others do. So it's just kind of, you know, where depending where your team is at.
Yeah, very team-dependent. He is a good buy, but he's not a must by any stretch of the imagination. Does have 2 games at home the next 2 weeks, and the first one is against the Dragons this round, so that's great. And a great base as well, 45 raw base for an edge-back rower with his lack of experience is fantastic. He gets in there and does the work, which is good to see. Some other options as well. I'm not too sure about some of these other ones coming in, even though I really like them. The Hammer. I felt a lot better about last week, so I can't talk anyone out of buying him. He's minus one break even. He looked fantastic on the weekend. It was said it's only second or third ton that he scored. So, you know, we were lucky to get it, but I was banking on it. He's now gone 79, 94, and 112 in his first 3 weeks. The problem with jumping on someone like the Hammer now is that he's just gone up $100,000, basically, and he's now close to 700K to purchase, which is a lot. The Tigers aren't as good a matchup as what the Gold Coast Titans were. They could be a good matchup still, but they're obviously playing a bit better than what we thought they would have. Then he goes into the Broncos and Para the next couple of weeks after that, which are a bit harder. I can't talk anyone out of it because the Hammer's going great and you're going to make some money out of it. But we do know that he can have a low floor.
So, I mean, he might go out and go okay with a 65 against the Tigers, but if he throws up a, you know, a 38 against the Broncos, which could happen, then all of a sudden he's going to start leaking cash and you've lost the benefit of those first three big scores. And we do know, unless he's going to become an elite gun, that because he's gone 79, 95 and 112 the first three, his big scores are going to fizzle out with a smaller one eventually at the moment. It's going to come any week now. So there is some danger there, particularly when you've got some other good matchups in this round against the Gold Coast Titans with the North Queensland Cowboys down the road from the Dolphins. So I'm just not sure on this one. I really loved it last week, but it was because he was 600K, Mikey, and he had the Gold Coast Titans that week. So I don't want to talk people out of it because he could still go well. I just think expectations need to be there again with this trade.
Yeah, and the difference with this trade is he's costing you 690K. It's not cheap. I considered it this week. I thought, okay, Manu or Hammer. But yet again, I look back to that thing is I'd prefer to go a guy like, you know, sound like a breaking record, but he's pretty high owned. He's had that big score. I'd rather chase a guy that I think's got a massive scoring coming and that, you know, is looking really good in NRL. And, you know, the Roosters have had a mixed bunch of games and I think, you know, they're going to have some big wins over the next coming week. So, I couldn't talk anyone out of bringing in the Hammer because, you know, he's been great for the first four rounds and the Dolphins do play all three bye rounds. Obviously, most of us would expect him to get into Origin, but if he doesn't, he's probably, you know, someone that would be almost a must for those bye rounds because he could go huge against weakened sides, but I wouldn't be bringing him in with that expectation. But yeah, for me, it's this week or never for the Hammer. I guess as a non-owner, I'm now just hoping that he does shit the bed a little bit, drops back kind of around to that price point and I jump in again for a nice run of mattress or if he misses Origin. But yeah, I don't think it's a worse thing to, you know, it kind of maybe are you chasing last week's points? Are you chasing a bit of that money? Think elsewhere if you can. Like for an extra 60K, you can go Ruben Carrick. I'd much prefer to do that at a lower ownership rate and someone who's just so solid. I'd prefer to do that over the Hammer.
People are jumping in for Galvin. He's obviously suspended. So, you know, I would be reversing that trade and waiting until he comes back. Ryan Pappenhausen, though, he's actually coming into a fair few sides. I'm not sure on this one. 691K. I would actually be looking at some other fullback options. And he's got a minus six break even, and I think that's really nice. But playing the Broncos, not the easiest. I mean, I don't think the Broncos are going great at the moment anyway. I am tipping the Storm. But it's more that, again, it's just more the fullbacks around him as options. Like, we've seen Kalen Ponga doing a lot better than Pappenhausen so far this year. I know Papp's got 132, which might be the highest score of any fullback, I think, so far this year. But it's just about the consistency in the upcoming run. And, you know, Drinkwater has been good the last 2 weeks, scoring just about 200 points across the last fortnight, as has Kalen Ponga as well. Those guys, you know, particularly Drinkwater this week with the matchup against the Titans, and then Teddy against the Bulldogs this week, even though he's 100K and more. It just seems like there's a lot more fullback options than getting a Ryan Pappenhausen in. And I don't think that you make these moves at fullback, Mikey, to make money. It's just an added bonus if you can. But I would throw the break-evens for your fullbacks out the window myself and pick which one you think is going to be the best to score points and which one you want to keep longer because the money-making you can leave to the Blaze, to Lungies and stuff. You don't want to be buying a Ryan Pappenhausen just because he's got a minus six break-even and going to make 40K more than what Tedesco is if you think Tedesco is going to outscore him. And I think that that's what teams are doing at the moment. So I'm not a big fan of getting Papp in, not because I don't think he'll go well, not because I don't think he's good, but because I just think the other options are better at fullback.
I think this could be the cheapest you'll get, Papps. And I don't hate it as much as you do, but if I was looking for a fullback this week, we just mentioned before the Cowboys run, and their run stays very good for a good chunk, like, you know, 80% of the next seven or eight rounds leading into the bye rounds. I think I'd prefer him over Papps, but I guess this is good for us as drinky owners that, you know, a lot of the percentage will go to him. I think they could score. He could score really well against the Broncos. He got a bit of his rust out for the first round, and I think he can continue to score big. And to me, he's got probably one of the biggest ceilings out of most of the fullbacks. And if he gets back to his best, he's like someone of, like, you know, Tom when he had his killer season that you'd just be scared to not own. And maybe you could throw in there, you know, Munster's back this week. They get a lot of the cavalry back. Is that going to help or hinder someone like perhaps who we're not sure, but the Storm, to me, with all their team back, I think they're going to be a very scary matchup for most sides. And I don't have any Melbourne players except for Chan at the moment, who didn't get named yet again. So it's an interesting one, perhaps. But yeah, as you said, like, it's hard to sell some of your fullbacks right now. Like, I don't think you could tell me one of your main fullbacks that I'd be go, yep, I'd definitely sell him right now, because they all seem to be firing, or, you know, have the potential to fire. So, like, who are you selling to get him? That's the big question, right?
Well, I think people have got the shits with Turbo, to be honest. So there is that track.
I feel like that isn't the worst trade in the world. Like, what I've seen from Tom, I would be tempted, but we've already seen it this year show that if you do show faith, that there is a world where it works out. Like, I'm pretty sure Manly, surely their draw opens up a little bit at some point. After Panthers, they play the Warriors and the Titans, and then Eels, Raiders, Dolphins. Like, come on, like, look ahead there. There's no way that I take back my statement. I would not be selling Tom. Deal with it this week, and then after this week, there'd be, you know, for the next four rounds as a non-Tom owner, you're going to be very scared.
Yeah, I tend to agree. There's an interesting comparison coming up here with Jack Bostock, quite popular this week. I started with him, and I'm happy that I did. He's already made $90,000 for owners, and he's now got a break-even of minus 41. Now, at 404,000, he's a reasonable investment, but even if he goes like 100 points next fortnight, you're going to make over 100 grand on him anyway, probably. So it's an easy 100 grand to make. But what I will benchmark him against, Jack Bostock and Olam are very similar prices. Now that Bostock's gone up 90K, I would actually get Olam over him. And I don't love Olam, as I said earlier, but Olam has a much better base. So you're much less likely to get a 25 or 30 in there, which is really going to stunt the cash gen. So I tend to think that Olam might be a better one to get in for the same price, because their break-evens are very similar, but Olam's got a better base in him, and he's probably more likely not to have a small score the next few weeks, so he's going to be more playable. And I have to say, Mikey, I'm not sure about you on the weekend. I played him because it was the Gold Coast Titans. I'm pretty scared to play him against anyone else. Like, I know he went 77 against the Dragons the week before, but he does have those low games in him. And it just seems like, unless it's a real good matchup like the Titans were, you may very well cop a 38 like he did in round one. And we saw last year he had scores in the 20s at times in 80 minutes. So he's a bit of a scary proposition to play, whereas I think if you're a team that's short, get Olam in, because at least you can play Olam at the moment.
I wouldn't be bringing Bostock in. I would just be, I agree with you. I'd go Olam instead of go, you know, you kind of missed a little bit. Bringing in someone with such a low floor, it's like Camp Pereira of last year, where you knew that there were weeks where he can absolutely blitz it and there's weeks where he couldn't. And the fact that we saw Bostock score like, 73 in the first half, then come out and score 11 in the second half, it just shows you what he's capable of. And I did play him last week, and I am actually playing him again as the versing the Tigers. And, you know, the Tigers' run is pretty good, but I do still think, you know, the Tigers are leaking points, and I still think, you know, that he's just so tall. I think he's going to score so many tries and could honestly compete a little bit with Jermaine Asake for their leading try scorer this year, which I know could be a bit of a huge call. But the fact that he's got that potential upside, and it's a week where the Sharks aren't playing, we're not going to be able to play Galvin, I'll definitely look to play Bostock. If I had a lot of options this week, I'd probably even look at maybe Blaze Talangi over Bostock. I'd consider it. But to me, I still think he's an okay play this week if you need to. And I assume a lot of teams will be in the same boat as I am.
I lied. I'm playing him. I've just looked at it. I can't afford not to. So
yeah, there you go.
I don't have the depth to not choose him. I don't want Burbo on my starting 17 for this round.
I'd even play him over someone like Smithies, which I am too. I am doing also.
I am going to play him over Smithies. So Smithies just seems like he's 40s and 50s, capped at 50s basically at the moment. So look, there is another one here that has been going ballistic in a Dolphins jersey, and that is Tommy Flegler. He was an option in the offseason for me. I thought that he could have had a bit of an enhanced role and he could have stepped up. And look, he has 76, 51 at 80 points the first 3 weeks. He's certainly done well. He's now got a 26 break-even. A couple of things that are a bit of a concern for me still, though. He's going to cost $532,000. So I'm not really sure whether I'm happy to pay $532,000 for Flegler going forward. He's not going to keep averaging 69 points. And his base has been 45 in his raw base. So at the moment, he's going to average 52 minutes a game, 51 minutes a game, and that's basically what he's probably going to be doing. It's 7 minutes a game more than what last year was. That's what we basically projected in the offseason. That's great. He's going to score better, but he's probably going to come down to earth with a lot of 50s. So I'm in two minds about this one. Mikey, he has shown a lot in the Dolphins jersey, but at the same time, he's still, when you take the attacking stats out, the old Tommy Flegler of going to be solid 50s with his base and some offloads here and there. And for 531,000, 532,000 even, I don't think that I'm really aboard on that one. But how do you feel about him?
I agree. There's too many attacking stats in there. And although, you know, I can't worry anyone, you know, starting with him, good job. I feel like now that those lower scores are going to come back and realistically, you know, I've already missed out on 56K. I hate using all my trades on my front row. I've got Cotter and I've got Terrell May, who actually has gone back to the bench for Lindsay Collins. But I'm happy with those two. I've also got, you know, like a lot, you know, yeah, I've got Liam Henry there. So that, like, I just hate having to waste a few. Are worried about your front row propositions, then yeah, okay, maybe I could get around it because there's not many much better options with a lot of the bigger guys going down. So I don't absolutely hate it, but at the same time, yeah, I personally couldn't do it.
No, I'm not really aboard it either. Something else I'm not really that aboard is people bringing in Sean Johnson, 662,000. I wasn't big on bringing SJ in this year to start with. And even when we had a fullback go down in Nathan Cleary that was really popular, I didn't love him as a trade-in. They got Souths away. That's not the best. Although Souths haven't been going well, New Zealand do have to travel for that one. And they do have Manly after that, but that's going to be at home at least. Dragons at win is nice, but I'm looking at this next fortnight really. Just thinking about going, look, do I really want him for 2 weeks? He's not exactly going to make a huge amount of money. He's got a break even at 74. So it's not like I can go from SJ to Cleary in a couple of weeks. And he's in 9% of teams. He's going to end up in non-pod territory by the time the trading's finished for the round. I just don't really understand it. Like the first 2 weeks, I don't think he had an attacking stat. He's gone 47 and 75 the last 2 weeks. He's just not got that upside that he had before. And we don't know if it's going to really come back. 53.5 points per game he's averaging. I will throw a complete curveball to you, Mikey, on this discussion for Sean Johnson. I brought in Sammy Walker last week, and I did it really looking towards this week more than last week. You know, I wanted 50 out of him last week. He only gave me 42. But 42, when Penrith absolutely dominated that game, you know, I'll take that. He's 516,000 with a break-even of 54. He's 150K less than Sean Johnson, and he's playing the Bulldogs this week. He's going to be much less owned as well. I would much prefer bring Sam Walker in if I need a fullback, especially a stepping stone fullback, because in the next 2 weeks, he could actually make a bit of money if he has a big one against the Dogs. So just a bit of a pod one to go instead of SJ. But really, I think that what's happened is that teams have held Nathan Cleary and they've decided they need to go to a halfback. And if you do that, I kind of think you want to spend as less as possible whilst trying to maximise points for a short period. And at 662,000, Sean Johnson isn't, you know, as less as you could possibly spend on someone that can get points for this round.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I'd probably be looking at Sam Walker over him at the 516K, but I guess if you are jumping off Cleary, you need to make sure you can bridge back towards him and have the money to do that. And Sav's brought in Johnson last week, scored pretty well, and I actually don't hate it as much as what you do. Apart from the Souths, who have been very, like, you know, they haven't been that great. Manly's been up and down. They've got the Dragons and they've got the Titans, and then they've got the Knights. Like, their draw does look really well leading into that first bye, apart from Roosters and Penrith there. But the rest of the teams, like, you know, he could get back to his best. Metcalf's out now. Does he take the kicking back? He could. If he does, unless he take the kicking back last week? I didn't get to catch all of that game.
Yeah, he's kicking.
So you see, with those added things there, he's already lost a bit of value as well. I don't seem to hate it that much, but if you are trading Cleary this week, I'd hate that even more. Like I said it last week, hold on. We've got a good mail that we think he'll be back for the Tigers, but even if so, it's only a couple of weeks. But if you really do need a halfback this week, I do think they're the top options.
Yeah, agree with you there. That's probably about bang on. Certainly Brooks was a bit disappointing last week for buyers, so I'd be going away from him versus Penrith, that's for sure. Let's go along to TLT. So before we move along, we need to take a quick break to introduce you to a brand new partner of the NRL All-Stars podcast, Bonus Bank. You can go to www.bonusbank.com.au today to check them out. Sign up for free or go straight to a paid plan to access all the different benefits that Bonus Bank has. But basically, Bonus Bank is Australia's number one match betting website. So it's not gambling, It provides a profitable side hustle for anyone who likes their betting by taking advantage of promotions and bonus bets that you can make, giving you a risk-free, tax-free income every week. So Bonus Bank has software and calculators that do all the work for you. It's semi-automated, and it compares over 90 bookies across Australia as well to give you information on all in one place. It's also got its own app that you can do it on. It's also got several other features like betting and bonus calculators, tutorials and free education on how to make money from the bookies, Australia's biggest match betting Discord community you get to join as well, odds match software, full customer support, and a whole heap more. There's so many benefits, it's crazy. So if you want to compare offers and promos all in one place across bookies and learn how to make some extra income through the bookies in Australia, then Bonus Bank is well worth a try. Go and sign up today with a range of their plans. You can go completely free just to trial them, or you can go straight to a paid membership, and the different membership tiers will give you a whole heap of different features that are well worth it because, look, you get the money back anyway with the profits that you'll probably make. So sign up by referencing All Stars as your code on the site, and you'll get a special sign-up offer as well for a membership today. Bonusbank.com.au. Go get in there. Australia's number one side hustle for anyone who likes their betting. Machine Gun TLT, we're going to quickly look at C and VC options and a couple of interesting points with it. The first game is the Storm and the Broncos. Look, Chan isn't named. It's really annoying. Bloor's got that edge back row spot, and we thought that that might have happened in the preseason. I'm just going to hold Chan at this point, but probably the other thing too to consider is we just mentioned both Walker and Johnson. You made a really good point on last week's pod that Hughes could actually be a really good option. He's 722,000, so he's going to be, you know, 60K more than what Sean Johnson is going to be. But Broncos at home, then Bulldogs at home the next 2 weeks, Roosters away, Souths at home, and then the Titans. The next 5 weeks look okay for Melbourne. I would probably go Hughes over Johnson myself as well. Yeah, so he's another one in this game that looks quite interesting straight up.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I forgot about him. Obviously, with them on a bye, I seem to forget. And yeah, I agree with you on Joe Chan. Sean Bloor, interesting watch if he continues to keep the position. But the fact he hasn't been named at all, he may come back. But at the same time, if I needed a second role this week, I think one that's flying well under the radar is Elise Katoa at 1%.
Oh, I love it.
Pumping out some sixes. And if I needed a second role this week, honestly, instead of Manu, I looked at getting Elise Katoa instead because I could have done a Tupanua to Katoa. But I've decided not to do it now. Keep watching and waiting as Fifita looked pretty good on the weekend, but he's just waiting for a try to go 85 plus. So keep a close eye on him. But apart from that, with the Melbourne, the fact that Munster's back, he could also be a move if he goes well to jump off Dylan Brown if you're really hating him. So definitely on the watch list as well.
Yeah, really like the Storm in this one. Also throw in there Patrick Carrigan at the moment, playing 80 minutes and absolutely beasting it. He's expensive, but if you've got the luxury of having a lot of points in your side already in your centre wing and fullback and spine, he might be a luxury trade for some people in the second row. I love how he's going at the moment. Bulldogs Roosters. Look, this one, I think that we can definitely look at some VC options. I really like Teddy in this one for a VC. Oh, I think it's a great one. I'm not sure that guys like Manu and stuff can go big enough, although Dom Young might be a complete pod run because he's already gone 150 once this year. But Teddy's had some big games against the Bulldogs before. He's got 199 max score against the Dogs. That is actually his best score that he's ever had in Supercoach. So you can't always take away the historical data too much. It's a grain of salt, Mikey, but he does like playing the Dogs. He's got a 99 average, 96 average against him. If I had Teddy, 100% he's a VC for me in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but I disagree with what you said about Manu. I think he can go big in this one. I know I'm bringing him in, and I love when I bring a guy in is to give him a bit of responsibility and chuck something on him. So
I love it.
He'll be my vice captain this week. As I said, just he's looking on, and he's each week he's looking like scoring a try, and I feel like this is a week where it could connect and he could end up with two tries, and if that is the case, I've got a ton on my hands. But I would need a pretty significant performance to get my C off Scotty Drink. So, yeah, I love the Roosters in this one. Bulldogs have been looking better, but they're still showing that there's a lot of points, and as we mentioned earlier, that forward rotation will be a close watch, and maybe Josh Curran getting named in the second row isn't good for owners that were hoping he'd get his jewel. This could rule him out of getting jewel.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And also, like whether he gets 80 or not, you know, he's been playing decent minutes, but whether they'll actually push him to 80 I think that they will, but it's going to be a bit of a watch to see how that works. On the Rooster side too, we've got Satili Tupanua benched and Angus Crichton starting. So again, we're going to have that really stuff around the Roosters rotation, because I would assume that Angus will probably go to the middle and Satili will come on for him. And that's probably going to be the rotation.
Do you think he gets the same minutes? Because I like live, I've like benched him and it's like, I've got so many shitty options this week. And now I'm like, do I play Strange over him? I'm not sure. But like, are you worried that he might get the same minutes that once Crichton's been getting?
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry, really. Like, I would rather not play Tupanua at all. I think that the problem is that a lot of teams might not have the luxury. And at least, like, running at the Bulldogs' edges, you could do worse on hoping and praying for, you know, a try. I tend to think that he has to get like 35, 40 minutes at a minimum, which isn't great because he's maybe going to score 30 if he doesn't hit some attack. But I'd play him over a Burbo and stuff on the bench. I mean, but that's not really a high bar, is it?
Nah, yeah, well, it'd be him or Strange. And to be honest, thinking of it, like he has had a few good scores against the Bulldogs, and him coming on, I remember when he first came into the Roosters, he scored a lot of tries off the bench. So it might not be the worst thing, especially with a lot of other forwards in there, depending on who he's, but either way, he'd be running at kick out, or he can be a little bit lazy sometimes, or Curran. So it's still not an easy task to score on, but yeah, I think, you know, I might not have a choice in against the weaker side. I might just have to take a gamble with, you know, hopefully him coming on and scoring one.
Well, big watch on what is going to happen with Angus Crichton's minutes, because we all want him to get back to his best from a couple of years ago. Newcastle Knights, Dragons. So, look, I am torn here, absolutely torn. The biggest news in this one is that I have a fullback combo of Kalen Ponga and Scotty Drinkwater.
Same.
Both of them have been going well. And Kalen Ponga at McDonald Jones Stadium, I just want to throw the C on him here. But then I'm like, oh no, I've got Drinkwater against the Titans. I want to throw the C on. Maybe I'll VC one of them. Can't do it. They're both fullbacks. It's a tough one because both of them have such good matchups this week.
Yeah, but it also presents the opportunity that you know that Ponga is going to be way higher owned with the amount of people that own him compared to Drinky, who's only at 8%. So it's going to be more of a pod captain. Drinky made so many errors. He had such a bad game last week and still managed to notch up 77 points. It means it's a back-to-back captain for him for me, but I prefer him over Ponga this week. As I said, the big thing is Hastings is taking Gamble's spot. Cogger moves into the 5-8, and we've got Hastings at halfback. He was killing him for the first couple of rounds, and I think Ponga's got his confidence, and I think the coach will obviously want him to Ponga to get still really involved, but that gives me enough scare to go, okay, I think there's a lot less risk with going Drinky. I'm going to stick with that. Although, if the Ponga's absolutely cover, like Ponga covers up the Dragons, or like the Knights, at least he has a goal kicking to fall back on. So I guess that's playing a bit of devil's advocate there, where there's pros and cons for both. But I think with someone that, you know, I'm a bit behind, want to catch up, I think the Drinky route is where I'll be going. I'd be very surprised if I change.
Yeah, I love Kalen's goal kicking, but just the fact that it's a Titans matchup for Drinky, I'll probably end up edging that way as well.
Look how Hammer scored against the Titans too last week. Like, I just feel like they're presenting a problem and an asset for super coaches targeting fullbacks against them.
Yeah, I think one of the things that scares me is that Ponga does have the goal kicking for this one. The Dragons will give up points. Like, I'd be surprised if Newcastle don't score 28 points plus. And at home, with the goal kicking, and the biggest thing is Kalen Ponga still hasn't busted out in a single game with a heap of attacking stats. Like, he's had, you know, the line break assist last week and try contribution, but he hasn't, like, done the, you know, 3 line break assists and 2 try assists and a line break type of game that we know that he could throw up there. He's getting line breaks himself, but he's actually creating stats. He's not getting multiples of each in a game yet. And you just know that's coming. And if it does, like, we already saw him score, what, the 117 last week without doing that. If that comes off again for another try, line break assist, he's in the, you know, close to the 140s. That's how easy he can do it. So that worries me a bit. The South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Warriors at a course stadium. I'm not really, the big thing on this one is Jacob Gagai has not come in and Isaac Thompson has gotten that wing spot. That's probably the most relevant thing. With how Souths are going at the moment, I just think that you don't want to be bringing any of them in. And if you got Latrell Mitchell, I think that you ride him because it's a good matchup here and he's probably due for a big one. But CMK is back for the Warriors. I think that helps them immensely. And look, I think the Metcalf out hurts, but CMK might be more valuable to them coming in. So I like the Warriors in this one. I think Souths will give up points, particularly looking at their back line.
But I don't really love getting anyone in this one or captaining them or vice-captaining them.
The big thing is they have the bye after Penrith. So their bye is far cementing, which is what puts me off getting any of them. But I've actually just got the Rabbitohs ahead in this one. Although they've been pretty disappointing, that team on the day, if they perform, you know, they can win a game with that lineup that they're running. So I don't love bringing anyone in. Maybe a shout is Cameron Murray and both Colin Matangi would be on my watch list at possible gun second row purchases. But with that incoming buy and the plethora of options that we already mentioned before, I just couldn't bring in a South player right now that wasn't a cheapie that we must had to get. And Wyden had a good performance last week, but in no way is he looking at a super coach option for me at any point yet.
If you get a trade happening in draft quickly, or you like to play some draft stars, or you just want an anytime try score value bet on pickle bet, Cody Walker this week, I'm going to make a big call here. He has not done well averaging 50 points a game. I remember still 2 years ago where he scored 4 tries against the Warriors for 150 points, and he loves playing New Zealand, and he's playing at home with them as well. So I like him to step up here and actually get go all right. The problem is he can't miss bye guys for 1 week. So that's about the extent of it for me. I might bet on him. Let's move along to the Seagulls and the Panthers. Obviously, we don't have Cleary in this week still. Brad Snyder's going to be there. He's been great for them last week during that game. And Manly are going to be burning after that loss. Now, Tom Trbojevic didn't play well. They lost against the Dragons. Absolutely smells like a bounce back. Ola Kawatu very quietly scored, 93 or 87 points? I can't remember what it was last week.
Yeah, 94. Very happy, isn't it?
94. Despite them losing to the Dragons like that, he still scored 94. He's been absolutely killing it. As far as premium second row is going under the radar, he's a smoky in this one if you had the cash to burn. He's looking like he's just going to be one of the top second rowers of the year. Almost a David Fifita type of start to the season.
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of why I look to bring someone like him in, because I was sick of all these mid-range options. And although I had to cop 2 pretty average scores, you just see when he gets on a bit of an attacking run at what he can do. And as I said before, after these next like Panthers and Warriors, the Manly draw really opens up. And against the Panthers too, yeah, I think they'll be pretty solid and steady again. And as I said, Penrith like to play at Four Pines Park. But anything could happen in this one. I think there are still points to be scored. I just think, which probably what you would have mentioned with the Panthers, a big one. We'll talk about Liam Henry at the start. James Fisher-Harris is back. So that's going to probably, you know, rule him out as a play, as that takes him from about 50 to probably 36 points if he continues to get those minutes. And I think that's probably the biggest news out of there for Supercoach, other than the fact that Cleary's not back.
Yeah, you've made money out of him if you've owned him from the start, which is great with Henry, but you'd want to avoid playing him if you could this week. And look, I'd avoid captaincies in this one myself. I don't know how Manly's going to bounce back or what Turbo's going to do against Penrith this week. The Dolphins and the Tigers, Hammer, can you possibly just leave the C on him for 2 weeks in a row? Playing at Suncorp Stadium against the Tigers, who don't have Galvin, which I think is going to hurt them quite a bit. It's one where you can just keep riding the hot hand. We do know he's got some low scores, but it does seem like he's going to get some attacking stats and have a floor of like 65 probably in this one.
Yeah, I guess if you didn't have a Ponga or Drinky, I would probably potentially. But yet again, it's just with so much risk. Like last week, I felt comfortable like, well, obviously I don't own Hammer, but if I was to bring him in, I would have considered him for the C. And that's just because he was versing the Titans. The Tigers, you know, have looked really good, and That will give me enough worry to kind of just, I don't know. But if he was the absolute best option that you had, you know, someone like Hines is also out this week. So even another option, you know, down the drain for a captaincy option. So, yeah, couldn't talk out anyone of doing it, but it comes with a lot of risk and I'd be very scared.
We've already spoken about the Cowboys and Titans matchup with Drinky being our favourite captaincy option for this week. There's obviously some other big guns to target in this one, though. Now, with Valentine Holmes, I think a lot of people brought him in last week, actually, and he ended up with a 59. So it wasn't the greatest, but he's now gone 108, 54, 144, 59. So if you believe in patterns, he's due a ton. I don't believe in patterns, but I think he's going to ton up anyway. So 829,000 is a lot of money to pay. I'm probably going to pay it this week just because I've got guys like Militalo who are fairly high value that can be traded. But do you think they're paying that much for him at this point? Is too much, and you think it's more you're paying it for one round as well, or are you looking at it more longer term and thinking you can invest that sort of money in a Valentine Holmes and just keep him?
Well, like it depends on your team position. The fact that I don't have Cleary, I know I don't want to be doing a mass upgrade unless it's for him. So it's why I've decided to go with someone like Joey Manu. But not last year, the year before, I didn't have Valentine Holmes when he was absolutely covering it up, and it actually hurt me so much. And I can see it happening again for me this year. That's why I'm just like, if I don't have Holmes, who's someone that I believe could do a job for me? Obviously, he doesn't have the goals who I'm going with Manu, but I want someone that I believe can match him with upside. And if I was a Valentine's home owner this week, he'd be probably my captain if I didn't own Drinky. I think he'd probably be my second favorite captain option this week out of everyone, just based on matchup. And if you think they're absolutely going to put a score on him, which I think they can, he's got those goals that you can rely on. He might even be a bit of a safer play over Drinky. To be honest with you, if I had both of them, I would maybe even consider doing that, because that would be a pod C option. And yeah, to go back to your first question, I think it's he's worth the 800K price tag, and I would look to bring him in if I could personally afford it.
Yeah, one other one I'll point out here that hasn't been going fantastic is Finifuliaki. He only scored 31 on the weekend. He played 67 minutes, so I think the 67 minutes is pretty encouraging, but the score was not. Because of that, he's now only gone up 55K, but price tag of 348,000. Running against a Gold Coast Titans edge and a break even of 15, I was actually in a position where I wanted to sell Burbo, but I didn't have much money, and he was one of the guys that I could just afford. And I think that that's actually a really good purchase, in that you can play him and he might score really well this week. And if he does, he'll make 30 or 40K this week even potentially, and next week you're going to make money out of it too.
Yeah, I brought him in last week as my option to be able to afford Coruscant. And although he scored that 30, as you said, like, they've got such a nice run coming up, and I'll play him on most weeks just based off matchup. And it looks like he's going to, which I brought him in thinking that he was going to rely on attacking stats to score well, and it will happen. But yeah, this is just another week where you go all in on all your Cowboys. And I think he could be in for a 65 plus score for sure in this one.
And Satili to him frees up a bit of money as well. He free up about 75K. Or Burbo to him isn't too far off. You only need like 30K or something. So pretty good trades there that you could look at for a Gold Coast Titans matchup as well. The last game of the round, not quite as exciting, but we have the Eels and the Canberra Raiders. Now, the Raiders started off on fire last week and then just looked terrible. I'm just about at a point, mate, where I just don't want to play any Canberra Raiders players. So, like, even Morgan Smithies at the moment, I'm benching if I can. Likewise, I thought the Eels didn't look good for portions of that game. And then other times, you know, some of them looked okay. It's a bit of a tough one to predict. We do have Jermaine Hopgood that's been named back at the 13 after being benched last week. Ryan Madison's been named in the 12 jersey on an edge rather than the 13 jersey like last week. So we are shuffling around the back row a little bit here. But really, I don't know what to take out of this one. I'm not starting any Raiders. I'm going to actually hold Dylan Brown, though. My big call for this one is we're going to get a Dylan Brown try finally. I thought he was close to breaking the line about four times last week. I reckon he's going to break it this week, and he's going to reward holders.
Yeah, I think an 85 plus might be one of my other predictions this week on Dylan Brown. I agree. I think this is probably one of the harder ones to tip this round, because I can see it going either way, even at Canberra. I agree with you on Smithies. I'm actually going to play him this week. Got Hines that I'm benching. Galvin didn't get named. I'd prefer to run Smithies over a Strange. His minutes were a touchdown with Horsbury coming up, but they were still reasonably good. If you can keep pumping me out 40s, like, he's not an urgent trade till I know I can upgrade. And, you know, right now I don't really have too many other better options. I much prefer to play him over a Strange or a Henry. So I'll kind of happily do that this week. If I had a bit of balls, I might look to play Sam Hughes if I thought he was going to get 40 plus minutes. But I think that's too crazy of a move for now, and I just want to play it a bit safer for now where I'm going with some other positions.
Very, very fair. Well, the last thing on this one is Clint Gutherson was like on 103 points last week at the half, and he finished on like 109. So it was a bad second half. But if you do own Clint Gutherson, kicking and playing the last game of this round, he might be a sneaky, sneaky, low-owned captaincy option as well. But, yeah, double tons in a row. We did it a few times last year. But that is the podcast, Mikey. Thank you so much for jumping on board again and jumping on the All Stars podcast to chat Supercoach with me. Really appreciate it. Love talking the game with you.
Yeah, no, anytime, mate. It's good to, like, you know, love – you know, obviously the experience, shout out to all those guys. It's like nice to just switch it around a little bit and have a little bit of a different discussion. So, you know, most weeks where I can jump on and do like this one and obviously my own one. Yeah, you know, it's good. Get a bit different content and different aspect. It's good.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. Well, Mike, you'll be jumping on reasonably regularly on the All Stars podcast making cameos. But for everyone looking for the podcast, do have a look at the SC Experience show. It is a fantastic one. But for us, you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. Make sure you subscribe because then you get the episodes straight away. And also jump on X and follow us, NRL_SC_AllStars. Jump on all our partners as well. Your code is always AllStars. The affiliate code, or we've heard of the partner, is always going to be AllStars. You throw that in, they know that you've come from this podcast. We'll take great care of you. Some of them have offers that they'll give you as well. But we have the betting partner, Picklebet. Jump on them, picklebet.com. Great odds, great NRL markets, same game multis. We have oneworldcurio.com.au. If you own a business or work for a business that has shipping or freight needs, they will take care of you as well. And also, lastly, bonusbank.com.au. Australia's number one side hustle. If you want to make some extra cash on the side, if you want to have a look at some betting tools that can make the most out of promos and bonus bets, they are your people to have a look at. Jump on there as well. Enjoy the round, everyone. Enjoy your trades. Hopefully it's another big one this week. Have a great weekend. Have a good time watching the footy. And we'll chat to you again real soon.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get the show on.